All right, we discussed this morning the Sedra v'Emorah LaKohanim, which contains, like the rest of the Sefer Vayikra, most of the laws of the Kohuna. So the beginning of the Sedra talks about Isurim, which is still in effect today. It's the Isur of Tumas Meis. A Kohen cannot defile himself, make himself impure by contacting a dead body, which still exists today. You don't find Kohanim at funerals very often. And the marriage restrictions that exist on the Kohen, again, until today. So let's start a chaining with another limitation on the service of the Kohen. A very interesting one, and I think we'll see that it's far-reaching, a little far-reaching than we'd otherwise believe. So it starts in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor. God says to Moshe, tell Aaron and his sons. I'm sorry, tell Vayedaber al Aaron l'emor. Forget his sons. But Chazal discuss why the Bnei Aaron are not mentioned here. But tell Aaron, Ish mizaracho l'darasam, any person. Ish means a gadol, an adult. Any person of your descendants, Ludaro Sam, forever, Asher Yevomum, who has any type of blemish, Lo Yikrav, Lakriv Lechem Elokov, he should not draw near to offer Lechem Elokov, literally means the bread of your God. It means the Karbanos. Can't bring the Karbanos, can't serve, can't officiate in the Beis HaMikdash if he has any type of mum. I'm just looking for a particular... Oh, here we go. Okay. If he has any type of mum, he cannot officiate. A mum is a physical blemish that's external. External means it's on the surface of the body, even if it's not necessarily noticeable, but most of them are noticeable. The Torah lists a number of them, and the Chazal codified them in a very elaborate way, almost a strikingly elaborate way. So the Torah says... redundantly, by the way, ki chalish asher b'mum lo yikrov. Any man who has such a mum lo yikrov, he should not approach, not draw near in avoda. So just look at the psukim. It's again the redundancy stands out, not to mention the repetition. Ish mizaracho l'darasam asher yevamum lo yikrov. All right, lo yikrov lagriv lachem alakov. Ki chalish asher b'mum lo yikrov. Any person who has a mum should not draw near, all right? Why? Because each person has a mum should not draw near. It's also a tautology. It's asking a question, but it's not giving an answer. It's circular reasoning. Who are these people who are blemished? Ish iver, o fiseach, o charum, o sarua. A person who has, he's blind, lame, nose, does not have a bridge, has one limb longer than the other, meaning his arm is one arm is longer than the other arm. O ish ashe yevo shefer rogel o shefer yod. Someone has a broken leg, broken arm. O gibain odak. Gibain is a person who has unusually long eyebrows, right? Bushy eyebrows, like Andy Rooney. Odak, or he has the white of his eye extends into the pupil. O tevalul beino, another type of blemish in the eye. O gorov, he has a blemish on the skin. O yalefes, which is another type of blemish on the skin, but moist. O moroach oshach, which is something unique to men. And the Torah repeats, kalish asher b'mum, any person who has a mum mizera Aaron HaKohen, from the seed of Aaron, lo yigash, lo hakrives ishei Hashem, he should not draw near to offer the karbanos of Hashem, mumbo. He has a mum. Eis lechem elakov lo yigash lakriv. He should not draw near with the lechem elakov, which is a paraphrase just in reverse of Pasuk Yitzayim. It says again, lechem elakov mikachei kadashim u mekadashim yochel. He could eat the kadashim, but he can't offer it. Achel aparochas lo yavo. He can't enter where the parochas is in the Kodesh, Kodesh HaKadosh, B'Shua. V'la mizbeach lo yigash. He cannot draw near to the mizbeach, which we thought we had covered already. Ki mumbo, because he has a mum. V'lo yechalelas mitoshai k'ani Hashem mikadoshom. He should not desecrate my mikdosh because I am God who sanctifies them. Well, the Torah certainly goes to great length to mention this psul, the psul of mumim. It is somewhat surprising, and I want to try to understand today what exactly is the disqualification, the nature of the disqualification, the motivation for the disqualification. Because on a certain level, we would maintain that a mum can be humbling, makes a person more contrite, makes a person closer to God. So why would the Torah dafka exclude someone who has a mum? Of course, Chazal, you see the Torah itself does. These various blemishes are mentioned to distinguish between a mum over, mum kavua, a blemish which passes, like say a fractured arm which heals, and a blemish which doesn't pass. It's one which can be corrected, all right? Like, we'll mention anything here, but let's say someone has six fingers, it's a mum, can't officiate. If you remove a finger, then you can. Now you're back to five. That would be a mum over as well. So why is that? Why do we have this entire psul? Why does it repeat it so many times? The Chazal say that each repetition comes to mention a different point. We may not get into that, but what struck me, and I really was struck by this first when it was about a year ago, I guess, Daf Yomi was learning Maseches Bechoros. And Maseches Bechoros discusses these mumim at length, and it takes the mumim of the Torah almost categorically and amplifies them in a very meticulous way. So, for example, the Rambam has in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash a number of prokim, Vav, Zayin, Ches, that deal with it, and the breakdowns are very significant. All right, by the way, a Kohen who does serve with a mum gets Malkos. He's taken to a court, he's tried, he has to be warned. He's tried, if convicted, he's lashed 39 times. Now the Rambam, in fact, says that where the Torah says lo yigash, it means he can't even enter the Azara. Can't enter the Azara. Other Rishonim, like the Ramban, disagree and said he can't enter the Kodesh, but around the Mizbech, he can stand there, although he can't officiate. Right, just to give you an example, and I think it'll make the point quite strongly. Yeah, three types of mumim. Right? It goes in that Perek Zayin. And the same thing applies to animals, by the way. And two aliyos ahead in the Torah, actually, in the next aliyah, it speaks about the animals that are brought as offerings also have to be perfect. And that's the phrase we say in the davening, tmimim yulachem, tamim. An animal has to be unblemished as an offering in the Beis HaMikdash. So Perek Zayin. Kol hamumin haposlin ba'odum avahem hachamishim. There are 50 types of blemishes that disqualify both a person and an animal. Five in the ear, all right. Three in the eyelid, eight in the eye itself. If you're blind in one eye, for example, the list goes on. 50 in all, another six in the mouth, three in the nose. If you think we're particular about our looks, so you really have to enjoy a human physiognomy in order to appreciate all the varieties of human beings and different characteristics that we could possibly have. Six in the hands and feet, four general, etc. Total of 50. Now, that's 50 blemishes that are identical for man and animal. In Perek Ches, there's another 90 types of blemishes that are specific to people. Kol hamumen hamiyuchodim ba'odom tishim. Eight in the head, for example, a person whose head's a little too flat, or the head's a little misshapen, all right? Sticks out, the back of his neck sticks out too much. Kereach, ein b'chol rosh oser kol ikar. Someone's completely bald, no hair at all on the top of his head. That's a mum, can't serve. Two in the neck, his neck is too long, I'm just reading. It's too short, that it, as if he has no neck, sticks to his shoulders, or too long, aroch harbe, Ad shenira kishamut miben kseifav. It looks like it's detached from his shoulders. Yeah. That is the question we want to try to understand, because that should be true. That should be true. We come in all different shapes. Four in the ear. Ears too small, like Reggie Miller. Too large, like Dumbo. You have another four in the eyelid. You have 11 all told in the eyes, if they're not level, if they're too high up on the head, too low down on the face, etc. That's halacha vav, halacha zayin, six in the nose, all right? Different shapes, different bridges. One of them, the eyelid. You see this occasionally. People have just one eyebrow going all across. Yeah, I guess you can. So that may be a mum over.
Unibrow,
all right? That's a mum. A Kohen who has one eye. Men don't usually do it, though. Kohen who has one eyebrow, why women endure that pain is a different issue. But men certainly would not. That doesn't hurt. Okay, I have to try it then. That's a psul. It's true. Why should it be a psul? That's a psul. Three psulim in the lips. Three in the beten. Three in the back. A hunchback, for example, cannot serve in the base of mikdash. Six in the hand, what I mentioned, you have an extra finger, unless you get rid of it. You're missing a finger. Knuckles, other evarim, legs, and, yes?
Kohanim,
only Kohanim. Every Kohen, that's correct. Every Kohen. This, I have to know, I remember when I learned this in Gemara, I was shaking. Mishu ita yad yamino, someone who's left-handed. A left-handed Kohen. I'm left-handed, I took it personally. What's that? It's as if nobody's worthy. It's hard to imagine a human specimen who could satisfy these requirements. It's like the Shidduch world almost. Bim hayasholei b'shtei yadav kasher. If a person's ambidextrous, so even if his left hand is a little stronger, it doesn't matter. All right. Yes. Yes. Well, that's another type of psul if your arms are too long, all right? Too long, so it looks disfiguring. Or you have, for example, and again, some of these things seem hard to quantify, someone who's too short, a nanas, a dwarf. How about a roch b'yoser, someone who's too tall? That's why it, no, it doesn't. It just says, I know. I guess it'll depend on the generation, right? You know, we've gotten tall the last century. Got maybe 4 or 5 inches tall, the average height. But Aroch Biyoser stands out. And then many others I won't mention. It seems picayune almost, that here, I guess they're noticeable, but why? That's really the question I want to ask. Why is that? I mean, why would the Torah go to such detail to exclude these people who, for all we know, could be very dedicated servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want to officiate in the Beis HaMikdash, and can't? They're deprived of the opportunity because of some physical blemish, which, I guess for the most part, almost entirely, it's not even their fault. They're born with it. I guess someone that breaks an arm, you know, they're negligent, but the arm heals. But most of these things, people are born with, and that's who they are. And certainly the mumim that develop over one's lifetime, that's also part of life. Things happen. So the point you said is very well taken. Who is the perfect physical specimen that should be able to serve in the base of Mikdash? That's not what it should be. And then, like I said, you have the redundancy. The Torah starts by saying, "Ish mizarachol adarasam asher yevomum lo yikrav." You cannot, if you have a mum, you cannot draw near like Riv Lechem Elokov. Ki cholish asher bomum lo yikrav. So, what is that fragment? The Chizkuni and others say that's. I think Rabbeinu Bachya said also that's Nesinas Tamhu. It's giving the reason. Think about it, if you have the pasuk in front of you. A person with a mum can't serve. Why can't he serve? Ki chalish asher b'mum lo yikrov. Because he can't draw near. Why can't he draw near? Because he can't draw near. That's how, you know, we used to answer 4-year-old children when they asked the question. Why? Because. That's what it is. That doesn't satisfy. I mean, what is the Torah telling us? You can't serve because of, you can't draw near because of a mum. Why? Because there's a mum. As if it's self-explanatory. And I guess we should add as well, the Torah portrays it in the most serious light. V'lo yichalel es mikdashai. You should not desecrate my mikdash with this type of blemished service. Ki ani Hashem mikadashom, because I am God who sanctifies them. V'idaber Moshe el Aaron v'el banov v'el kol b'nei Yisrael. Moshe then informed this to Aaron and to his sons, and for Talmud Torah purposes, doesn't apply to other Jews, except in one context we'll discuss, to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So now, in the point that you mentioned before, why does the, I read it, you know, Bal Peh, which I'm supposed to, Daber al Aaron v'al Banav Lemar. Why doesn't it say that? In fact, the next paragraph begins, Daber al Aaron v'al Banav. Why doesn't this one? Because if it was said, Chazal say to Aaron and his sons, then you think they're all in the same category. It's as if Aaron is set aside on a pedestal, and all this applies to his descendants. Ish mizaracha l'darasam, from your descendants. Why doesn't it apply to Aaron? Because Chazal say he was a perfect physical specimen. That's why. See, he's the image of the Kohen. Sure. Absolutely.
It's obviously, you know,
absolutely. I mean, the mumim are unusual. Some are not that. I mean, let's put it like this: some are unusual that you'd say a bracha mishana habrios if you saw, and others not, and others not. There is a bracha like the Shulchan Aruch brings. Gemara records in brachos. If you see someone unusual, an unusual human being, whether in height or lack of height or some physical characteristic which stands out, you say bracha mishana habrios, God who created different types of creatures. It's a bracha Kadosh Baruch Hu for the manifold variety of human beings in creation. A Chazal say in brachas in Sanhedrin and elsewhere that a human being melech basav adam, he mints a coin. It's every coin, every penny, every nickel looks alike. Quarters actually change pretty often these days, but every penny looks the same. But a human being, nobody looks the same. No one looks the same. And even identical twins, the fingerprints are not the same. There's always some different features. So, I mean, it's amazing that in the world which has had so many billions of people, that, yeah, you know, people look alike every now and then, but no one is identical. And certainly in every physical characteristic, no one is identical. Not like the coins which are minted. So let's understand, why is this so? The Sfarno says that the reason being that such a person cannot be mishares in the Beis HaMikdash because it's reminiscent of the pasuk, and you know, Sfarno was very very terse in his language. It's reminiscent of the pasuk which he cites in the Megillas Esther, Ki ein lavo el shar hamelech bilvush sok. You remember Mordechai came when he heard the news of the decree of Haman, tore his clothing, put on sackcloth, and went to sit b'shar hamelech. So the pasuk says, "Vayavo ad lifnei shar hamelech." He came right before the gate. He ain't lavo el shar hamelech b'vushsok. He can't come into the king's courtyard, enter the gate of the king b'vushsok. Period. That's what the Sfarno says. What does that mean? So on the surface, it's not the same, because Bilvush sok is something you put on. A mum is something that you're given. It comes, in most cases, it comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I think the pshat is, and this is really the starting point for our discussion. Bilvush sok means you can't enter the base, you can't enter Shar Melech in a degraded state. In a degraded state. A state which symbolizes mourning, separation. An inferior status almost. A person with a mum no longer represents the perfect species of man, because there's something which distinguishes him from all other people, some characteristic, some feature which sets him apart, and therefore he no longer represents Adam or Ish, the classical Ish. If he's no longer representative, then in the Beis HaMikdash he cannot serve, because in the Beis HaMikdash the Kohen has to represent that prototypical man. That's why, by the way, in the previous Aliyah, we speak about the Kohen and his marital status. In the Kohen as well, he has to represent the ideal, not that every marriage is a happy marriage, even the Kohenah, but it has to represent the ideal, and it can't come from a home in which, say, a surviving spouse, a divorced wife, is still alive. That can't be. Kohen Gadol can't even marry anyone who's been previously married. He has to strive for that ideal even in his familial relations. So too, that's what it means, Ein lavo b'sharim el sharim ech b'vursog. You can't come in a degraded state, because to come before the king, you have to represent the ideal. Now, I don't think Sfarno is saying the same as Rashi, but it does bear an echo of what Rashi says. Rashi in Pasuk Yud Ches. Ki chol ish asher bo mum lo yikrov. Any person who has a mum lo yikrov cannot draw near. Eino din sheyikrov. It's not proper that he should come close. Kemo hakrivehu no lefecha secho. Hakrivehu no lefecha secho is a halachic category. Not that most people would remember, but it's in the Haftorah for Toldos. Back when it was just getting cool. Okay, not so long ago. Still cool. There, the first parak of Malachi, he's critical of Klal Yisrael, as the Nevi'im always were. There's almost never a Haftarah that is just sings the praise of the Jewish people. He's critical. And he says to them, among their flaws, this is towards the end of this first Beis HaMikdash era, Magishim al Mizbechi Lechem Migawal. You bring to my Mizbeach abominable bread. V'amartem, and you say, Bameh Gal Nucha, how have I been an abomination to you? Bemorchem, by you saying, Shulchan Hashem Nivzehu, the table of God is something to be scorned. V'chisagi shuni ver lizboach, if you would bring a blind animal to slaughter, ain ra, is that not evil? V'chisagi shu pisach v'chole, ain ra, if you'd bring an animal that was lame or sick, wouldn't that be evil? Hakrivehu no lefechosecha, that's the fragment that Rashi quotes. Would you bring something like this to your governor, to a human lord? Hayirtzecha, would he show you favor with such an offering? O hayisafanecha, would he turn his countenance to you? Amar Hashem Tzvakos, that's what God says. That fragment, hakriveu no lefechosecha, is a halachic category which essentially posits that what we would not do to a human being, to a king, to a governor, to someone to whom we want to show honor, it's forbidden to use on the Mizbeach, forbidden to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, forbidden for that matter to use for a mitzvah. So, for example, it's forbidden to use rancid wine on the Mizbeach. All right, one of the things they did every day, Niska Yayin, they poured libations of wine on the Mizbeach. Let's say the wine became rancid. So what would you say if you're looking to cut corners? Not that the Mikdash has to turn a profit, but let's say they wanted to cut corners. What's the difference? It's being burnt anyway. So what's the difference whether wine is good wine, right, or bad wine? No. Hakrivehu no lefechasecha. Would you do this to a human being? Would you give a gift to a governor, a prince, a king, of a wine which was terrible? Wouldn't do that. Or you can't bring a scrawny animal on the Mizbeach. So again, the next parsha discusses the Isser of bringing blemished animals. But let's say an animal is not blemished. Let's say just scrawny. You know, it's thin, it's wasting away. Didn't have a Jewish mother to say, eat my little calf, eat. So it's wasting away. Could you bring it? Technically, yes. Should you bring it? Of course not. Akrivehu nolafecha secha. Would you do this to a human governor? Bring him such a scrawny animal? That's why the pasuk is actually not a repetition. Because the first pasuk said, Ish mizar chalar asheyevomum lo yikrov lakriv lechem elakov. You can't draw near to if you have a mum. Why? Because kalish asher bomum lo yikrov. Because any person who has a mum could not draw near. Because you wouldn't do it to a human king. That's what Rashi is explaining. You wouldn't do that to, you wouldn't treat a human being like that. So how could you treat God, how could you treat the mikdash like that as well? So it's really not a redundancy. Now this klal, this category of akriveu no lefecha secha applies to mitzvahs also. In a variety of areas. So for example, let's say you have wine. Oh, it's a rancid wine you wouldn't drink, but let's say you wanted to get rid of it. That happens, but you know, wine spoils. I've learned to my chagrin. Wine spoils. Let's say, let me kiddush on it. I'll take a sip. I'll drink mother lugma. Throw it out. Can't do that. Would you do that to a human governor, or a wine which has a bad odor, or the case is brought down? Not that it should happen to us. Let's say they find a mouse in the oil with which they use to light the lamps in shul. All right? Halach is that oil is disqualified. And think about it. You take the mouse out, or it swims out on its own, whatever it is. So why can't you use the oil? What are you using it for? You're just lighting a lamp. You're not, it's not a mitzvah necessarily. It's not one of tayag. It's functional. Yet there's a din of kavod beis haknesses. You have to show honor to the shul. So would you then offer that wine, you know, to that oil as a gift to Governor Cody? I don't think so. Even an acting governor we wouldn't treat like that, much less a real governor, elected, yes. No, that's the Tov Meitiv is for two different types of wines. Not necessarily. No, just different. Just different. Just different. Or other mitzvahs generally. Now, if you think about it, hakrivehu no lefecha secha is the flip side of another halacha category from the Shiras Hayom, zekeli vanvehu, that we have to take our mitzvahs of the Torah and beautify them, adorn them, make them as attractive as possible. You should try to make the mitzvahs, make ourselves beautiful in mitzvahs. That's why we dress up nice, we come to shul. Yeah, Chazal say, Selecha, Sefer Torah, Lulavna, Sukkana, etc. Everything we do, Shabbos table. We could get by with a Sefer Torah, which is, you know, just scrawled. No, it has to be done with borders and columns, and every letter has to be set precisely. That's Zekeli Vanveu. We try to do every mitzvah in as beautiful and pleasant and gracious a way as possible. Why? On the one hand, it reflects chibuv ha-mitzvahs. You want to show that we love the mitzvahs. When you love something, you want to express your love in the most complete and attractive way, right? No one likes to have a Mother's Day gift thrown at them, or just, here's $10, pick it up yourself, or go buy it yourself. What's that? You'll take that too? Take the cash? Okay. Cash might be better than the gift that you got. You want to do it in the best possible way, which reflects a dignity, respect, honor, enthusiasm, alacrity, and of course love. Certainly, Avas Hashem is involved in that. We're serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want to show our love of God. These are the mitzvahs that He gave us. He's the Creator who commanded Asher Kiddushanu, the mitzvahs of Vitzivanu. He commanded us. So that's why we want to have the best possible esrog and matzah and table and all the appurtenances of the chagim and our daily lives. The religious appurtenances should be as beautiful as possible. Mezuzos and tefillin, etc. And of course, what's that? It's always in our control to some extent. Why?
No, I'm just, you know, going over everything with the
mums. Oh, we'll get back to that. One second. So, again, even in terms of Zekel van Vehu, if we do not act like that, but are more half-hearted, then it appears to us the mitzvahs are a burden, right? If a person does something, and it's like some children, most children, the way they hand the write an assignment for school. What's the purpose of homework? Get it done, you know, you yotzei, and send it back, and whatever happens, happens. Everybody goes through this at one stage or another, right? It's not only my family, I mean, every family's like this. Get it done, and go back to what I really want to do. If you have the attitude, I'll get it done, and then I'll go back to what I really want to do, in terms of shmiras ha-mitzvos, then that's a great chisaron in the human being. That's a deficiency. Hakriveno, you know, just for yotzei. The minimum possible. The minimum possible. I'm sure anyone here ever taught recognizes that phenomenon. I will do the minimum amount of effort to pass or to please my parents, and then I'm at the gym. I'm doing what I really want to do. Now, of course, hakriveno lefechasecha, to put it in our terms, in more direct, vivid language, is basically telling God, take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. This is what I have to offer you. This type of avoda, this type of mitzvah, this is what I have, and if you don't like it, you know, I can't satisfy you. And, you know, l'davoneinu, you have occasion, we sense that people come to shul with that same attitude. As if, God, you should be thankful that I'm here. Please don't try to tell me I have to conduct myself while I'm here. I'll daven, I'll talk, I'll go out, I'll play around, I'll meet my friends. Be thankful I'm davening shacharis and musaf, because I'd rather not even be here. That is hakriveinu lefechasecha. I'm not making any of this up. Also, you can't be cheap in mitzvahs. So, heder mitzvahs at shlish. You have to spend up to a third more than you ordinarily could or would in order to have a heder mitzvah. Not just a dalet minim, but generally. It is somewhat unusual, not that it's uncommon. You hear people living in million-dollar homes complaining about the cost of an esrog or a box of matzos. Something a little off in that. And, you know, we in our community especially be able to appreciate that. Something a little off in that approach. That also represents that fine line where you're skirting the violations that Keli Van Veyu, as well as Hakriveno Vechasecho. Be very mindful, a person who's blessed with affluence, not to, you know, complain if an esrog costs $50 instead of, you know, $30. That's also part of avoda. So we try to do the avoda in the most beautiful way, and that involves people too. People also, when we want to have our ovdim, our ministers to God, our mishorsim in the Beis HaMikdash, serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it has to be the most beautiful representations of us. Because in fact, they are our representatives, and therefore they have to represent as best as possible this type of Shleimus Ha'adam. Now, lest you think it's not at all related to our current lives, it's not so. Because you see in Ar Chaim in Nun Gimel, where it talks about the laws of who can be the Shliach Tzibur, who can ascend the Amud, as the Mechaber says, has to be someone who has a full beard, or at least the capability of growing a full beard, Mekavod Tzibur. And I'm sorry, I skipped the Ramah before that. Ramah says that some with a nice voice, all right, etc. And the Magen Avram in Sifkot and Ches says that you can't always get everybody, but what about in terms of behavior? Behavior, all right? So he mentions a case here. Let's take this case. What if you have a shatz who's a balmum? It's a balmum. Say, God forbid, it's one arm. So the Chavos Yair, in fact, says that he should not be a chazan. The same thing applies to a shatz, applies to a... same applies to a kohen, applies to a shatz, too. Then the Marshal says differently. And Magen Avraham quotes the Marshal. Misha nafu zroa sov. Rachman al-Tzan, a God person loses his limbs. Mutar liyo shatz. It's permissible for him to be a shatz tzibur. Because it's God's way to use a broken vessel. God wants, so to speak, broken vessels. Aval, but, there's always a but, the Zohar says on our Sedra, based on this, Dehada Kadosh Baruch Hu Mishtamish Bekelim Shvorim Hainu Daka Ushval Ruach. When we say God utilizes broken vessels, we're talking about the spirit, not the body. Avol Misha Yesh Bamum Hu Pogum. A person has a blemish, it's a pogum, should not daven. And Lachen Kohen Balmum Posul Avoda Vimken Gam B'Shatz Yesh Li Zoyer V'od Hakrivehu Not Lufechasecha, which is a category we dealt with here. So you have a nice machlokas achronim, whether someone who has such a mum should daven. On the one hand, it makes a lot of sense. You say, Derech Kadosh Baruch Hu L'shtamish B'kelim Shvurim, really you want, on one level, you want a shatz who's broken, because he best represents the tzibur. You don't want a cantor. A cantor literally is just a singer. You don't want someone to sing, a performer. You want someone who connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, representing the Tzibur, because he feels, he needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can assemble everyone's tefillos and carry them to God. So on one level, you want that. That's the mashal. Yes.
Not just that he needs it. I could be showing that he has a moon of Hashem, even though Hashem did something to him. I think it's a higher level that he can, some people would say, oh, I have this mum, and I'm not
going to
believe in God. But what happened to me? And I have another question. What happens if you fight in the Israeli army and you're fighting for Hashem and for our
land,
and then you get a
moon?
And
what about
Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu
had a moon. Well,
he didn't
serve the
Beis
Hamikdash.
Yes, but he was
ahead
of Hashem.
Right. What's that?
The
composer
of
Sanat Tokev.
Right.
That's right. Well, he wasn't the Chazan, though. He has to say it, right. That's a very valid point.
Exactly like the
Marshal says.
That's
correct. Oh, he's throwing in a Muna, huh? Oh, you meant a Muna in the, okay.
Oh, there's a
rubber
mark for Muna.
See? Don't get Mindy started. That's the Marshal. It's a very valid point. You want someone, at least somewhat, I don't want to say broken, but chastened by the experiences of life, in order to represent the Tzibur. That's why, for example, Chazal say, Halach is that a member of the Sanhedrin cannot be a Zakein, can't be too old, they get burnt out, and they just live, you know, they've seen everything, and they can't be someone without children. You have to have children. Why? Because children also give a person a little experience, a little reality. So sensitivity. A lot. I meant a little in a sardonic sense. What's that? That's right. Well, it's not fair to a person, you know, has one eyebrow, but that's halacha. I don't know if it's that. It's that he lacks a requisite sensitivity because he doesn't experience people's... people's life's experience. He's closed off from them. I was telling someone before, I was sitting and learning this morning, the Beis Medrash. So yesterday's Times, you can read it, there's an article in the style section, a column called Modern Love, which it's such a window into the disasters of modern life, but it's interesting to read. Anyway, so one snippet from the article, this woman who's going through a terrible custody battle with her ex-husband now, was sent for parenting training. Is there a group mandated by the court, I guess, in Tennessee? And the people there are talking in the seminar, they're teaching them about raising children, what you should be doing, and how to discipline, and how to deal with a divorced spouse, etc., etc. And then the questions pop up from the audience to two teachers. Do you have any children? No. You ever been divorced? No. You want someone to have a little life experience if they're talking about it. But, you know, in the world, it's not necessary. In Allah, it's so. A member of the Sanhedrin doesn't have children. So he's missing out in the sense that sometimes people do things, you know, you're rash, you're impetuous, there's something missing. And so too, someone who's at the other end of the spectrum, which is seen at all, and has no tolerance for young people, for indiscretion, etc. You want a person to be compassionate. And at either end of the spectrum, if you're in danger of losing your compassion, then you can't serve. So it's the same thing. So that, it's the same thing here. It's Marshall says. You want the Kli Shavur. What about the Tzar? And the Magen Avraham ends, Yesh Li Tzar, also with the Shatz, because of Hakriveinu L'Fecha Secha. you don't want a representative of the tzibur not to represent the tzibur fully? How could that be? How could that be? Why should that be? So I want to share with you, on one hand it's difficult to read, but I think we'll gain an insight into what Avodas Hashem is by the beautiful comment of Rav Hirsch on the Sedra, on this parsha. And I'll read it to you in the English instead of the original German, because I don't speak German. See, he says as follows. Again, the question should stand out, the question that arose, we started with before you came in. Why is this mum such a psul? We want a kli shavur, so why should it be such a terrible thing to take someone, you know, one arm is longer than the other, and say he can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Hirsch wrote that both the Kohen and the Avoda express equally the completeness of life, which is thereby to be gained in nearness to God. It's not the afflicted, the infirm, the broken, the sick, for whom the Jewish altar is erected, not primarily, so that weary, burdened humanity can drag itself up to it to find compassionate consolation or even miraculous healing. That's not why the Mizbeach exists. And that's not why, really, Torah and Mitzvahs exist. And to me, I sense over time that the nations of the world are not like that. That they come into their own when it's almost the religions are designed to deal with suffering people, to deal with tragedy. We have ways of dealing with it, but it's not the purpose of our religion to deal with that. It's Drachei Darchei Noam. That's what we're looking for. V'chol Nasiv Aseh Shalom. I quote again. It is life in its complete. When I say that, I mean, you know, I've experienced, as I think we all have, that my wife had a roommate in college, for example, was completely irreligious, completely like not even Yom Kippur, nothing. When her grandmother died, she said, "Where's the synagogue? I want to go pray." Why? Because to her, religion was about caring for the broken, the need of consolation, need some solace. That's what God is for. Rav Hirsch disagrees. There's a place for that, obviously, because that's also part of life. But that's only part of life. In fact, think about it, that's why the Kohanim cannot be Metamei Lemes. Because that part of life which represents defeat, which is the negation of the Torah, it's Tumah, they have to be removed from that. That's not part of their world. It's part of our world. It's part of their world in the immediate personal sense. Family, close family, for Kohen. For Kohen Gadol, not even in the immediate personal sense. Can't go to his wife's or child's funeral, for that matter. Kohen Gadol. Can't be talking to anybody. What's the purpose of Avodah, of Mitzvahs, Torah? It is life in its completeness, in its freshness and strength, which there is to gain consecration to an active life of God-serving deeds, and thereby acquire the everlasting freshness of youth and unbroken forces of life. Life and strength, not death and weakness, live at the altars of God. They demand the surrendering of the whole human being, emphasis his, to make man flourish in every, his emphasis, phase of life. That's what Mitzvah saw. That's the Avodah. A broken man cannot represent man as a species, in the proximity of God. Ki cholish asher bomum lo yikrov. That's what the Torah says. It's a beautiful comment. I think it's counterintuitive, because we're trained to look at it a different way, that person has an extra measure of closeness to God. And in fact, it could very well be true. He may very well have an extra measure of closeness to God, which is the proper response. Like you said, a person who's been, God forbid, battered by life and responds with enhanced bitachon. So that's the true Eved Hashem. That's on a personal level. On a communal level, the question becomes, should that person represent the tzibur? Is he the best representative of the tzibur, like the Marshal said, the kli shavur? Or does he not represent the ideal of the tzibur? The ideal of the tzibur is not the broken. The ideal of the tzibur is the robust, the vigorous one in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the question that's asked. What's the ideal in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, apropos of that, I should add another machlokas also. What about a shatz who's a Baal Tshuva? What do you say? Baal Tshuva, Shech Tzibur, it's Baal Tshuva. Here, you know, forget about Tshuva in our context. I'll give you the context the Ramah mentions in Nun Gimel Sif Hey. Misha over Avera B'Shogeg, Kegon Shaharag HaNefesh B'Shkoga. Person kills someone accidentally. Negligently, it's not accidentally, negligently. God really runs someone over, kills him. The Chozar B'Tshuva, he does Tshuva. Can he do the shots? The Shech Tzibur. Mutar Leo Shliach Tzibur. It's mutar for him. Avolim also b'mezig, lo, if he did intentionally, cannot, v'mikol makom yotza olav shem kol, shem ra, kodem ha-tshuva. He already had a bad reputation, a shem ra, as a murderer. Killed someone, so he can't stand in the place of the tzibur anymore. And that, by the way, is a practical question. Mindy asked before. It's a practical question, only one of two times I ever censored myself in the rabbinate. Probably 200 times I should have, but only two times I actually did. I was going to give a shiur on the case of Kohen Shehargas and Nefesh. A Kohen who kills someone, can he duchen? Because the question comes up in the Israeli army. And Allah is not. But I don't know how well they publicize it.
And
he can't. And there's a difference between a Jew and a guy, and it's a whole thing. But I didn't want to do it, and I stopped. It was many years ago. I didn't do it. So I don't even want to tell you the whole Shaklataria. The bottom line is an issue. Kohen Shehargas HaNefesh. Can such a person then hold his hands, even if they killed someone in a holy cause? Took a life. So here, someone kills B'Shogeg, it's bad enough. Chazar B'Tshuva is mutter. Kills the mazid, he does tshuva too, same tshuva. He could be a tzaddik for Kodesh Baruch, a new person. But the shame ra went out. Which brings me to the third possible approach in this area. And by the way, the Magen Avraham discusses tzaddik gamur and why the Ramah distinguishes shogeg mazid, what's the difference if there's a shame ra? Yes. Well, that's the case, Baal tshuva. So if Baal tshuva, the same issue. The question is there a shame ra or not? Which gets right to this point. What's up? Let's finish up. So the question is, and it's the same thing here, what's the difference shame ra? What do you care people say? Because it's the same thing by the Baal Mum. We don't want people talking about other people. So imagine someone goes up to the Amud with a broken arm, which is a minor type of mum relative. It's a mum over, his arm's going to heal. Well, people say, what happened to him? All right? Somewhat at the one eyebrow is a different case. But all these mumim. Dumbo goes up to daven. Look at this guy with the big ears. Why is he davening? You don't want anybody to stand before the tzibur who's going to provoke conversation. Like when I daven this past Shabbos, all right, you deal with that too. You hope you don't get a big head. You hope you don't get a big head because that'll pass you for the omelet if your head's too big. What's that? You were taught, but we're also human beings. By the way, that's why the Kohen covers his face during duchening. So people shouldn't say, this guy is the conduit for God's bracha. This guy?
Yeah. I find it harder to have a mood of Hashem when you went through the Holocaust, whatever happened to you.
You mean bitachon? Stop with your plugs. Okay.
But I don't... Seeing the guttle in my eyes is the person like Chatzuel who can go back and be an Eved Hashem.
Maybe he's not a Baal Mum. That's a different issue altogether.
I'm talking about him. I'm talking about a person in general. Okay, he's not a Baal Mum.
Yeah, that's
is
a bit,
he considered
but,
childless? Or he's, no, he's considered childless because he had children? Is he considered childless now because he doesn't have children?
That's a technical question.
So the fact he's not... Is he allowed to adopt it?
No. What's that? Why don't you let the Rabbanim and Yisrael deal with that question?
But the question I have is...
It could be one said, no, it could be that he could, but, yeah.
Believe in Hashem when things are going bad. Even universally.
Why is that?
Universally. For Eretz Yisrael, my concern is not the norm. I've gotten better when things are going well for Eretz Yisrael as well as myself, but mainly Eretz Yisrael, because I feel, I get angry at Hashem, and my davening is not as good. So I can understand if somebody says a woman shouldn't daven, because really inside them there must be some feeling for Hashem that it's
you know what the idea? By the way, Mindy.
And we don't live in a fantasy land.
No, I don't like that word. You mean, but we don't live in a fantasy land, but we have to seek the ideal. And I think.
Maybe we should change how we give kings. Kings should be given things that aren't. Kings. I'm not talking about.
What do you mean kings?
When you were talking, period. We don't.
Oh, Vechazacha.
Maybe we should have.
They take it all to the table now. It doesn't matter.
Maybe we should have.
There's no open gift.
Maybe our values should be different. Instead of what I just read.
Well, the premise of the Torah, why should it affect any of us here? We should bask in that glory. In any event, Mindy, the Torah deals with people basher husham. The Torah deals with on the level. One thing which never changes, and don't ever believe anything to the contrary, human nature has not changed from the day of Adam Arishon until today. It's exactly the same. Nothing has changed, and the more you learn, the more you see nothing has changed. I was shocked. You know, the first time I went to Prague, I remember saying this in shul. So I went through a lot of the Maharal's writings. You know, he dealt with in Prague, in that little community, Prague, holy Prague, Altnoy shul. They never stopped talking in shul. They never stopped talking lashon hara, rampant adultery in Prague. And the only thing that kicked him out when he denounced a person for spreading lashon hara publicly, they fired him as a rabbi. Someone spread vile lashon hara at someone else. He said, you can't do this. They got rid of him. Maral, all right? Nothing ever changes in life, not just Jewish life. In life, nothing ever changes. So what the Torah is telling us, we don't want either a Kohen during the Avodah or a Shatz. And that's why I said the comparison of the Mum and the sin. Someone gets up there and people should say, you know, do you hear what this guy did? All right. Is that a case, by the way? I don't want to go into the details, but I wanted to honor someone. I said, give him an honor. People won't even notice. At Glila. Because I want to send him up to open the Torah. I said, no, people are talking about him. We can't have that. Give him Glila. It's a simcha. It's not from our town. Many won't know him, but if you put him in a public world, everybody sees, people talk. Give him Glila. Everyone's talking anyway about something else. They won't even notice him. And that's why that way you'll honor him. We don't want people's individual, unique characteristics to be pointed out. In the Avodah, just like in Tefillah, we must not focus on the personality of the Shatz or the personality of the Kohen, because they're representatives of us. To the extent that their distinguishing characteristic causes them to be discussed, to be talked about, so it detracts from the Tefillah. It detracts from the Avodah. And the focus becomes not that he's makriv lechem ishe lashem. The focus becomes, who is this guy? Look at him. Looks like a freak. Or look what he did. You know what they say about his home or his business, etc. That you can't have, because that ultimately defeats the purpose of elevating the kehilah in terms of avodas Hashem. So that you can't have. A Baal Tshuva is a more nuanced case, because at the end of the day, we're all Baal Tshuva. So if you would say only a Tzadik Gomer should daven for the Amud, we'd all be daven b'yichidus. There's no other way to look at it, because we're all sinners. There might be a difference between something which is known to the public, you know, to the world at large, and an individual sinner. All right, I must tell you, in our shul, I've always instructed the Chazanim. Not that they listen to me, not that anybody ever listens to me, but in Hineni Hani Mimas, the introduction to Musaf on the Yom Noraim, he says he's standing before, trembling, this, that, Afal Pisha Eini Kedai V'Hagun L'Kach, even though I'm not fit and worthy for this, I always say to the Chazanim, say that silently, in a whisper, to yourself. Why? Because you've just been campaigning for the post for 5 months, asking this gabbai and that gabbai, can I daven? Where am I going to daven? You better let me daven. So then to say, to go through that campaign, and then to scream out, Eini kedaiva rahogin l'kach, well, where were you in July and August? That wasn't your tune then. So say that silently. And so too, three lines later, Kichoteu Foshea Oni. Say that to yourself also. That's not as bad, because we're all sinners. But certain things should not be magnified. You don't want people, you don't want someone to say, Kichoteu Foshea Oni, and have the call yell out, Amen! That's right. We know all about you. That you don't want either. In the worst case scenario,
it's hakrivev no lefechasecho. That's the worst case. A balmum is not a bad person, God forbid. And it's not a commentary on a person's spiritual worth, the chas v'shalom. The tzibur is different. You see, you just weren't here. I'm not pleased to know that a left-hander is pasul avoda. I'm not happy about that. But it's not a commentary on the person. It's what the tzibur has to represent, the ideal of the tzibur. The tzibur always has to strive for shlemus. Shlemus means wholeness, completeness, perfection. Do we ever attain it? I don't think so. But zekeli van vehu, which again is the other side of the coin of hakriven lefechasecho, zekeli van vehu demands that even if we can't attain perfection, at the very least we have to constantly strive for it, always seeking to better ourselves. That really is the lesson. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. That's right. Because they don't. Yes, we got to keep in mind it's by Davar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabel Aaron. All right, Lemor. It all comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying such an individual cannot represent the tzibur in totality. I think he's not a good person. He's a fine, very wonderful person. A person that is a mum could be, Stephen Hawking may be a very fine fellow. Is it? Bright, kind, charitable, etc. Is he representative of the strivings of the tzibur? That's the question. Is he representative of the strivings of the tzibur? So someone who does not share the totality of life is not representative of the strivings of the tzibur. It's not a punishment. Which is God saying, a Kohen has to represent that. A Shatz, Yesh Li Zohar, should represent that as well. And by the way, trust me, I hear all the time, come Tishrei, how did you let this guy daven for the Amud? He's this, he's that, and I say, talk to the Gabbah. And so they get the headaches, and I go on to other headaches. But that does exist. Sometimes, you know something, most of the time, it's just pettiness. It's not that it's a tzaddik complaining about a rasha or beinoni. It's usually a rasha complaining about a beinoni. That's what it is. It's just pettiness, personalities. They don't like each other, whatever it is. But theoretically, you could have a case where someone says he's not. You know what came up? I don't know. I can't say. You could have a case where a person feels that an individual is not representative of the tzibur. The way he behaves in shul, for example, outside, whatever, you could see it coming up. You could see it coming up. Trust me, it happens. What's that? Oh, that's behavioral. That's correct. That's right. I'll try one more time to reflect on it. That's why we have another 5 days until Emor is read in shul. Reflect on it. So again, in terms of the avoda, what we bring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, as you see, the symmetry the Gemara in Bacharos and the Rambam makes between a mum and an adam and a mum and an animal, I mean, we would say, what's the comparison? A human being and an animal? No. Rambam says there are 50 things that pasul adam ubehema. All right? In terms of avodah, what we're offering to God has to be as close to perfect as we can attain, both in terms of the animal that's brought and in terms of the human being that's bringing it. All right, an adam who comes, a balmum, a regular Jew, can bring a carbon. Nothing wrong with that. Gives the kohen, and that's it. In terms of the officiant, though, the mishareis in the Beis HaMikdash, so just like the behema has to be a tamim, so too the mishareis, the oved Hashem, has to be a tamim as well. Okay, let's leave it at that. Next week. In May, it turns out we're on an alternate weekly schedule. So next week I have a convention. I'll be away on Monday. So pick it up again in 2 weeks. The week after that is Memorial Day. Okay, so 2 weeks I'll see you, if not before. What is this?
Engagement.
Ah, okay, thank you. Right. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I won't even give it to him. It looks very nice. I won't even give it to them. It looks so nice. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. Be well. My in-laws enjoyed coming in.
I wasn't able to, but I know Karen spent time there, so. Thank you. Okay, I shall. Spoke to Jackie. I think Carl Lifsch is bringing him in. So he must be staying there.
Okay.
And he's eating at different places.
Really?
Yeah.
Plenty in
the oh, really? I didn't know. All right, okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah,
okay. Oh. Okay. Oh, very nice. Talk to Jackie. Maybe it is a busy schedule, but okay.
Lenny was on the phone with Ruff Cook, and he was dealing with one of his clients, and his client's wife was in the room. And he took me to a conference, you know, my nephew turned around to me when he was one speech from Ruff Cook. Ruby, give him $500,000.
Wow. Ooh.
He's on you.
How are you? Excuse me?
I was speaking more because I was like in the know.
I'm going to tell Amit to change them to Bitachon. Then we'll see how far you go.
Can you please change it for me?
Okay. Can I come to the office?